Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. Once again, Mike Cantu and Tony Alvarez are with us in studio. Mike is a real estate entrepreneur, property manager, wholesaler, builder, teacher, and mentor who has purchased a huge number of homes at a discount from people he talks to over the phone and rarely meets. And Tony is a real estate entrepreneur, property manager, teacher, and mentor who buys properties mostly by creating relationships with agents who control lots of inventory. Welcome back.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
We had just really touched on, we were raised in families that real estate really wasn't part of the equation. Even being entrepreneurial in the sense of working for yourself wasn't the equation, yet we're all doing something that's very different. Yeah. So the first question I wanted to start with is, was this change, this shift, was it mostly due to like determination, will, or habit change that took a long process instead of it was an instant, really a very quick change or abrupt change?
Mine was desperation. In essence, it was a definite need. I mean, we're talking about when I first decided to do real estate. Because, you know, my dad, by the time I left home, they bought rentals. They owned, you know, some rentals already. And I hated being involved in it. We used to use my brothers and myself to do the work, and I couldn't wait to get away from that. I never liked to get my hands dirty. It wasn't until I'm sitting in that house, you know, broke, no prospects at all of getting anywhere, and this guy comes on television and says, you know, and he detailed it, which was the thing. That's why I identified with it so well. You know, even if you don't have a high school diploma, even if you don't have any money, even if your credit is horrific, you know, you're basically, even if you are nothing, you're basically an idiot. Any idiot could become wealthy in real estate. And I was like, so fired up. With everything he said, somebody else might take it as an insult, right? I got fired up. But I had a need for a way out of what I saw as an unresolvable situation.
You were working at the factory.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Many times I said to myself, my dad was right. I should have done this. I should have stayed. I should have, you know. So that was my initial motivation. It was all about need. And it wasn't about wanting to become wealthy or wanting. That came later, I think, you know, once I realized that it was possible for me to do something.
I never told this story, actually. I really haven't thought of it in a long time. After I got fired 5 times in a row, I was looking for a job, which is a little hard to apply for after you have been fired 5 times in a row. And I was one day away from starting a job at the steelcase factory, doing whatever they do at the steelcase factory, putting my widget into the hole. I had already gone. The only reason I was even able to apply for the job was my wife's dad worked there. So my father-in-law was trying to help the son that was getting fired all the time finally find stable employment. And it was the Monday that I applied for the hardware store job and met the first mentor that I would ever have. It was that close that I was working in a steelcase factory.
Wow.
And, that's interesting. What about for yourself, Mike, as far as, we heard the story about your dad kind of, put your dream on hold where you ain't going to get the money you thought.
Well, everything changed, Bruce, in a half an hour. It was 30 minutes of my life that just completely turned everything upside down, and I'm sure it was after 11 o'clock at night because it was a late-night infomercial, and I just happened to be channel surfing when I got on the infomercial. It was ironic that I even watched it because I recognized the backdrop. It was taken from the ocean looking at the beach, and I thought, that's Mission Beach where my friend Chuck lives. And I recognized the beach, so I thought, okay, what are they doing with this kid out on a surfboard? And he went on to explain that previous year he was broke, unemployed, loser, and a year later he was worth $1 million. And I believed every single word out of that guy's mouth. I fell for a hook, line, and sinker. And I remember when I woke up the next morning, I was on a mission. They had a free class, and it was in Long Beach, and I had to go for the 2 or 3 hour presentation. But that, as soon as my eyes opened up, I was right back into that infomercial. I remember after I watched the infomercial, I couldn't go to sleep. And I was so wound up by it, the next morning, I just had to make plans to get to that freebie. And once I went to the freebie, that was an upsell for a $500 weekend class. And that is all that mattered in my entire world, was getting to that class. And then once I got into, as they say, into the business, hadn't done any business yet, I got exposed to people that I actually witnessed, human beings that had pulled off everything that I was dreaming about. And several of those people, one of them being Mick Blackwell, I held myself in very high regard. And the comment that I kept saying to myself was, if they pulled it off and I can't, I'm going to be really embarrassed. That if they can do it, I can do it. And I used other people as my motivation. I thought they're just normal people just like me, and look what he's accomplished. But it was the belief in the infomercial, and I've always been somewhat gullible. I am a bubbling optimist, which I'm extremely grateful for. I have some friends that just gravitate to the negative side, and I realized I've always gravitated to the extreme high optimism side. So I believed every word of it and never doubted it for 1 minute. The only complaint is that I tried to take so many shortcuts, it took me longer to get there than it should have.
Now, explain that one.
Well, there's laws of the universe, and they apply to everybody, including myself. I used to think I was exempt from some of those laws, and I am not.
Yeah. Okay, so the decision to go was one, like you said, a very short period of time.
Last night, I was 5 minutes into that, Bruce, and I said, this is me. I'm all over that.
But now we transferred to end up with a result. There was a habit change. Well, unless you're telling me something different. You said there's laws. What are you talking about? Because I'm looking at that you made the decision, but the destination was a ways away because there were some changes that had to...
Yes, I took a lot of shortcuts, or at least I thought I did. And like I said, I didn't think that all the rules applied to me. And looking back, that was one of the big lessons, that they apply to everybody.
Okay. And anyone in particular you want to...
Time takes time. You can't speed that one up. And everything I tried to do to speed up the time, you can't do that.
Just takes time to learn and to... Obviously, that's one thing that does hurt a lot of people is impatience, especially after a downturn. I remember hearing that a lot. You know, I just lost $2 million and I got to hurry up and get it back. And I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, but when you're first starting out of the gate, you don't have $2 million. You don't have 2 cents.
Right.
But I can tell you, I bought the books and the tapes and everything else, and they came in a big box. And I read maybe the first couple of chapters out of one book and listened to a tape. Back then they had CD tapes. Mm-hmm. And then shot out to look for a house. And the first thing I did was I went to talk to a real estate agent locally. And the next thing I know, I'm looking at a house. And those things happened like within days of each other. It wasn't a year later. It was within days. I was, and by the way, I went to financing like Mike did. I went to my parents for financing. That's, you know, who you go to, right? And my mom actually, my dad, of course, was, you know, was like the Romans, thumbs down. You know? but my mom, thank goodness, was like all over it. She walked the first house with me, right? And kind of... told the agent, you know, he was trying to rip me off because we opened the door and pigeons flew out. There's no windows in this house, right? And pigeons flew out of the windows. And it's a little two-bedroom, one-bath built 1930s, right? Right next door to an asphalt driveway and it's commercial property. And right next to that is a Neptune Society with a billowing smoke thing coming out of the top. Talk about location. And that's the first house I ended up buying for $78,000 on Lima Street in Burbank. Now, everything that happened, you know, there's a lot of things that happened, including the agent telling me that I needed to hurry up and buy the thing because it was the best deal, and touching my shoulder, trying to give me that thing that salespeople do, they anchor you, you know. And the only thing it did for me was it made me realize I didn't know whether it was a good deal or not. And if I didn't buy it, he wasn't going to get paid. And my mother saying to the guy, as soon as the doors open, pigeons flew out, right? She looked at them, she goes, you're trying to steal my son's money. It wasn't my money, it was her money she was looking out for, right? But you're not thinking in terms of millions and stuff like that. At least I wasn't. I was thinking about the thing, the next thing, the first thing, right? So Mike is right. There's a set of laws that govern everything in this life, whether you think about them externally or internally. Your ability to get your decisions and your actions in line with those laws, it delivers you just like a leaf floating down a river gets to the ocean eventually, or to the end, to the sides of that river. You can't change that. So yeah, those decisions, and that's I think what you're going to. There is a change that takes place. Unfortunately, when I was in it, I wasn't aware of that change. And to be quite frank with you, years later, two bankruptcies later, ups and downs, all of this stuff going on, these crashes and burning, just like Mike said, trying to find shortcuts, Bruce Norris says to me, "Hey, you accomplished all this stuff. Would you mind going back to your house and figuring out, analyze your own behavior and write it down and do a little presentation for us at the Millionaire Maker?" Not until that moment, honest to goodness, I'm telling you honestly, had I ever questioned what I did. Never did I ever sit down and analyze my own behavior. I just went from one step to the other and the crash and burn was the teacher.
I think that it's interesting, and I don't know if it's cultural, but Alex, my great friend in Florida,
right,
is Cuban.
Yeah.
He would not be able to teach a sales class, but he's the best salesman that I know of. He just knows, like, apparently I'm not explaining myself correctly. He just, he gets a yes and as he pursues it until you finally give up. When we're talking about a direction change, we all have seen the people leave the seminar and they're, this is it, totally
determined.
Committed.
Yeah.
What's then the next step is, and this is why I don't like mentoring, because we did that for a little period of time, and so I took on meeting with people who had said, this is it, I'm going to change my, and then they'd meet with them for the first time, and you would say, okay, tell me what you want to accomplish.
Right.
Here's what you need to do the next 30 days. I'll see you on day 31, and then 30 days later, they come in, and you're going, okay, how did that go? Well,
right.
I didn't do it. Okay, well, you know, that's hard to take because you go, well, wait a minute, what happened to this guy? He got diverted and didn't do any habit changes
right.
to get there. You know, that's the, so it, there's two pieces to the thing.
Right.
You know, when you guys have spent a lot of time teaching, you know, you kind of look out in this audience and when at the end of the day, you have a lot of people that are really excited. A good question is, what did the people that succeeded have in common that they did?
That's a good question, Bruce. I always thought that person's success had a lot to do with persistence and their personality and their determination. And we're going to have obstacles. I've always been of the mindset being self-employed almost is never going to cut it, almost getting a check, doesn't spend, almost bought a house, that doesn't work, that you're going to come to obstacles all day long and you've got to overcome these things every single day. You go over, under, around, but you keep on going. I remember the first realtor I ever met with had almost $1,000 saved, and I introduced myself and she asked me how much I had to work with. And I figured I better round up, and I think I told her it was about $2,500. It tripled. And I remember she actually stepped back from me, put her hands on her hip, cocked her head, and she said, "Oh, you're not looking for a house. You're looking for shelter." It just took the wind out of my sails until I got to the parking lot, and then it infuriated me. I almost marched back in and told her about shelter and what I thought of her attitude. But now, let's fast forward 20 years, full circle. I'm on the courthouse steps bidding on a condo at Upland Hills Country Club, and she shows up because it was her condo.
Oh, wow.
I did not ask her if she would be in the market for some shelter after the sale. I thought about it. But you've got to be persistent, you've got to be determined, and you can't get derailed by the little things. All day long, stuff comes up, and you just got to take it in stride and solve the problem. I've always said that my number one job title is problem solver. And when I go to the office with that attitude, I'm prepared for this stuff. If I go in there with the attitude that my life is perfect and there's no ripples of any sort and a problem comes up, I'm probably going to get irritated and upset over it. But if I've got the problem solver hat on, bring it on. Let's solve this thing and move on to the next one.
Yeah.
So it's attitude there, too.
When I hear what you just said, the reason to pursue beyond what would be reasonable is missing for the people that don't do it. The why to the goal.
as you being self-employed, as you're self-employed, you really get to know who you are. And I've analyzed myself lots of times, and I realize I have a lot of confidence in a lot of areas, but I still think I'm one of the most financially insecure people that I know. And I think that's what keeps me marching forward to how much is enough. I don't know. But until I feel secure with it, I'm probably still going to keep adding to it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... You know, I have to agree with Mike on that as well, as far as having that sense of, I don't know about the how much is enough, because I think I've bridged that gap for myself somewhat, in these last few years. But, the fact of, you know, always being concerned, you know, amassing a certain amount of wealth is one thing, protecting it is another, and then, you know, having to worry about all that nonsense. You know, going back to your original question of what is it, you know, what is it that you see in people's character or something? Is it in their actions? Is it in their character? Is it in something else that's not even tangible? And I think it's a mixture of all of those things, but it stems from the fact that at some point in time, for some really good reason, you say to yourself, I've either had enough of this and I can't do this anymore. I can't do this life anymore. So I want something different. Not necessarily something better, just different. Okay. Or you say to yourself, I want this other thing really badly out of some really deep need. And you start marching in that direction. All of those things add up. The fact that you show up, like Mike said, you're at a seminar, you know, you're at a class or something, and you meet a bunch of people who, you know, you shake hands with them, you have a conversation, and you realize you have a lot in common with those people. And quite frankly, with the exception of the bank balance, you know, they're doing a whole lot better than you are. And you, for that first time in your life, you realize, I can do this.
When I was teaching Alex a business, he was already a master salesman. And he had been doing cars.
Right.
And we had run an ad that he had received the phone call on, and he got a call, an ad call that went like this. It's the guy said, I'm in a motorhome, in from Washington, and I'm here to dump my last property. Now, on an ad call, that's about as good as it gets,
yeah.
Right? That verbiage
there's
is
a
like
dump word.
Yeah, and he's at a payphone, not a cell phone. So
okay.
When Alex is writing down the guy's address, he messes it up and he can't find it. We go out to the house together and he can't find the address.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, oh. So as we drive back, I'm not happy. Actually, we figured out where the house was 45 minutes late.
Oh.
And so when I drive it back, you know, he's now a friend, but I got to be honest, now I'm a business owner. I put that hat on. I said, be honest with you, that's really unacceptable. Yeah. I said, we just kissed off 25 grand. I said, that guy, though, is going to sell the house to an investor.
Right.
Okay. And he's going to sell it to whoever is there when he shows up to the house. So that's, I'm just going to leave it with you. Well, to Alex's credit, he drove to San Bernardino, brought a dinner, and at 2 a.m, he was still in the driveway. The guy pulled up in his motorhome and we bought the house. That was the day I knew Alex was going to be successful in the business, because he did exactly what I would have done.
Right.
I would have bought that house. Because I just wouldn't have gone away.
You can't live with yourself otherwise, honestly.
Right.
It gets to that point.
So it's kind of that thing that has to be there. And I don't know how to give that. I've got to succeed to somebody. I can. And that's what I like about this event. This isn't just about, okay, do the mailers and stuff like that. It's about be the person that when he answers that phone is driven enough to get through all the nonsense to a yes answer often enough to change their life.
Yeah, and there's one other thing too that I just want to add, because I experienced this in my own office, and I'll be wide open with you here. This had to do with training my own assistant, Sabrina. I wanted her to learn to be a deal maker, not an assistant to someone who makes deals.
Right.
And so I had to walk her through a lot of stuff. Well, this time around, since we started back in this market in 2008, you know, there came the point where now we're doing mailers and having to talk to sellers and stuff like that again directly, and she had a real issue with this. I mean, we're getting calls coming in. We got this letter that's really working. It's generating a ton of calls. I was even surprised myself. I said, are you people offering money in this letter right out of the gate just to call back or what? Because we're getting all these responses. Well, her follow through, her face-to-face communication with these people are really getting them to she was dropping the ball. And we had deep conversations about it, and it had to do with her inability to believe that she was bringing anything to the table of value.
Okay.
So that was a large awakening for her. So, you know, there's a lot of things involved in this. And quite frankly, there has to be a belief in yourself that this is possible for you, and also a belief that you're doing something that's worthwhile. I mean, if you could believe that I can do this, but that's like saying, you know, if you believe that you can rip people off, great. Mm-hmm. You know, that how long is that mindset going to last, and where's it going to take you? So yeah. It's a combination of things, I think, Bruce.
You know, the person that attends this event this is who I envision. There are going to be people that are already in our business and they're looking to up their game. But I think a lot of people that come to this are tired of the box they've consigned themselves in. And that could even be they're in the business, but they're only performing at a certain level and they want to find how to accelerate and get out of the assigned box. All of us have had the experience of watching people give back fortunes. And some of that is a mental reversion to the mean. And maybe
Absolutely.
It's because they've so connected to themselves that this is who I'm supposed to be. When they escape that, there might be some discomfort from family members. And I don't know if you've ever had that to where I've definitely have had relatives go, yeah, well, you know, Bruce is all about the money. And they don't even know me. It's just funny. I kind of laugh at that because it's their only explanation as to why, you know, I got there is it was only about that or something. So I think sometimes people are given a script or a box that says, well, money, yeah, that's not good to pursue.
And that's a false equilibrium, by the way, that they psychologically have a need to return to. You know, but it's based on what they've only known up until that point.
Yeah, it's definitely a comfort level.
I was just going to say comfort zone is what I was going to interject. People gravitate back to where they're comfortable. And, Tony, you were just talking about Sabrina not feeling like she was bringing something to the table. And I remember the conversation I had with Jordan about when we're face-to-face with a seller that you have a job description. And that is your job description is a travel agent. And the seller's at point A, and he wants to get to point B, and it's your job to get him there safely with a smile on his face, and you will get paid well for it. So we go, that's travel agent attitude. I think the attitude that we...
Well, that's a nice way of looking at it, huh? You know, that's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, and it's the attitude I find out is probably the most important part of this business, the way you look at things, the perspective that you have, and the way you go about implementing this stuff. But it all stems back to that attitude. And every day I have the attitude I'm going out and make a deal. It's what I do. It's my one thing. I'm in the real estate business to make deals.
Bruce, just one thing. And I understand that this millionaire maker is like none you've ever done. Because what you're talking about, the conversation you're having is about raising the level of understanding of the people attending. And that's huge because that's where everything happens. Between your ears, that's where it happens. And it has to happen there before it happens anywhere else. You know, people talk in terms of they put their heart into it. They're really talking about they put their mind into it. You know, what has to change inside of you to make you, in essence, become someone new?
One of the, I mean, why I chose the speaker, the guest speaker, if you will, is because
yeah.
I watched this documentary and I've cried four times in a row. I know what's coming, but I am still.
Now that's impressive.
Yeah. I'm astonished by the amount of effort Diane Nyad puts into something and self-wills her to a point where people that have worked with her are crying on the boat just going, I just can't believe this lady. And, you know, sometimes we use that word try, you know. So, you know, when you go take a black belt test, you really probably don't want to hear the participant go, well, I'm going to really try my best tonight. Because that's probably leaving yourself an out. Well, I tried my best. In other words, that's the one thing that when you watch this documentary, there wasn't, the word try would be so cheap compared to what you've witnessed. It's like her failures, what she did three or four times before she actually made it, were so smashing successes because you were looking at it going, I've just never seen a human being put themselves through something like that willingly. And that's, I guess, what the next step for me is to realize that there's somewhere in there's that capability in all of us.
Right.
And to whatever it is, maybe some of us are kind of done financially. Maybe we want to attack something next with that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, we're out of time. Like you said, Mike, 25 minutes goes pretty fast.
Amazingly fast.
We're going to put together two awesome days, and it's going to fly by. But when people leave, they're going to be very happy they came.
Glad to be a part of it, Bruce.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.